it feels to me that all the animals, all the plants, all of nature is waiting for us to grow up and get it. They don't go into the horror of what's happening. I'm sure they could if they wanted to, but they're really trying to be patient and to help us wake up.
Hello, honoured viewers, and welcome to Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, featuring the conclusion of our interview with Australian professional telepathic animal communicator, Billy Dean, who for over 30 years has communicated with thousands of animal clients from around the world. Ms. Dean is also the author of several books, including Secret Animal Business, about the vital role animals play on our planet, as well as a filmmaker and actress. One of her documentaries, Finding Joy, which she wrote, directed and starred in, won her the Australian Film and Television Industry, or AFTI, Best Actress Award. A strong supporter of animal rights, she and her husband operate the Ballyoncree Animal Sanctuary, a home to many rescued animals. Today, Ms. Dean shares some amazing insights she has gained from interacting with our animal and plant co-inhabitants.
I know you're vegan. Do you think that being vegan is ultimately a big, big way in which to respect animals and in which to create a more peaceful world?
Absolutely. And I can tell you from the horse's mouth and the cow's mouth and the sheep's mouth and the chook's mouth that they don't want to be eaten. And I am seeing a lot of change. We've just had International Vegetarian Week, and I think that the more people start to realise that they don't need meat, then we can really start to see some change. And yes, it's the way of the future. Quite frankly, I think vegan raw food is the way of the future. And then after vegan raw food, we'll be able to be breatharians or something. You know, I think it'll be wonderful.
I've found that people need to awaken something within themselves, a sense of compassion. Does eating meat somehow hamper this?
I do feel that people who have stopped eating meat do seem to be more spiritually aligned with the world of nature and animals. Well, there's a lot of new people who are coming, a lot of young ones, who can't eat meat. Or they're in a home where they're forced to and they're struggling against it. And I know my daughter, you know, she's never eaten meat, and she refuses, which is good in our household. And a lot of her friends came into that awareness themselves. Oh, we want to be vegetarian. Okay. So it's wonderful, you know. So it's not to say that if you eat meat you can't connect, but I think that there is a different quality to people once they drop that out of their diet.
And can the animals themselves sense if we eat meat or not? And does this affect how they interact with us?
I believe they can, yes. They can smell it. I mean, I can tell now. I can walk through a crowd and know who's eating meat. They just feel more dense. And it's interesting. And they feel more congested in a way. Yes, they can smell it, they know. The horses have always said to me, we don't want to end up in a can, we don't want to be dog food. They don't want to be killed and they don't want to be eaten. One of my wild horses said, I don't want to be dog food. That was the first thing he said to me. He was in the wild then and he was terrified. And I made a promise to him that he would never become dog food. And I said, my dogs don't eat meat anyway. So if a wild horse can have that thought and he's never come across people really, then how are horse-human relationships going to be if these, you know, beautiful animals know that at the end of the day they're going to be eaten?
So with the earth now as it is, how does our treatment of animals affect the energy? When we treat them in a bad way, how does that affect basically the world around us?
When we speak and we think, we create a thought form. That thought form goes out into the world. When animals are crying out in pain, they're being slaughtered, they're being killed, they're frightened, that goes into this whole mix of human, you know, pain and sorrow and suffering as well. And what we've done is we've created almost a wall of, you know, heavy negative thought forms around us. And what that does is it makes us feel on a psychic level and much more depressed and anxious, and we don't even know why. But it's all, we're picking up on all the pain and all the suffering. So, yes, it's not a really good idea to have anybody suffering.
On your website, I noticed that you have similarly said, animals are not for us to own. We are their guardians. They are our teachers. This is the soul pact we made on the other side of the veil. Can you please speak more about this?
Yes, the animals, their souls can come from anywhere. I mean, I know this is a point of contention, but with my experience, I have found that souls actually come from anywhere. They can even have been humans. And a lot of cats, for example, are coming back, and they've been Egyptian teachers, not cats, but they were actually learned masters. I know in the Celtic tradition, they would say you cannot eat hares because there could be the soul of someone you know. And it's the same in other indigenous traditions. And we do travel in soul families. So it's all sort of to do with karma and soul family, and they'll often come in as a guide and a teacher to be with us and help us. So yes, we do have a soul pact, and part of that pact is that they have come in to try and push our buttons, to try and help us grow, to try and open our heart chakra. And, you know, they'll make great sacrifices in that way, but at the same time they've got their soul path and their soul journey, and they're looking to us for our compassion and our care of them.
Yeah, I understand that you can also communicate with plants and trees. So I'm wondering if they have any messages for humankind about how we've been treating our environment.
I speak to trees all the time. One of them said to me, what you need to be doing is viewing every single person as love and as loving you. So if we think that everybody is love and everybody loves us, imagine what sort of society we would have if there was only love. And that came from a tree spirit.
And what can people do to inspire an awareness within themselves?
So the animals have got a lot to say about that. Over lots and lots of clients, they've given me a really nice framework. And one of them is get rid of the clutter in your house. So declutter. Make the house a sanctuary. Make it beautiful. Make it spacious and light-filled. They're also really, really sensitive to the thought forms and etheric imprints that we leave in the house. Turn off the news. Turn off all the murder shows that are sending out nasty thoughts that make us tense when we're watching them, because the animals in our home are picking that up. So what they're saying is clean the home. Do a psychic cleansing, do a feng shui cleansing, do a space clearing, get rid of all that junk. Then they say, keep it nice and bright, lots of light. They, so many animals just recently have said, we like light-filled spaces. So they want it light. They also want at least one room in something like lemon yellow. That came up a lot. Lemon yellow or something bright, so that it's clean and fresh. And what all this does is raise our vibration. So that's the home. Then they want the humans to do things like self-express, take time to nurture themselves, nourish themselves. What is it that makes you happy? So we really need to be finding what is our heart saying? What does our heart want? And then they really want us to go outside, take off our shoes, connect with Mother Earth and dance. And what this does is that it starts to build our frequency. And it gets things moving, it frees up all the chakras and gets our mood up. You can't be depressed if you're dancing, you know. And, you know, I've had animals say, you know, to their people, go out and belly dance, and then chuckled, you know. and a lot of them just want their, particularly, go sit on the earth. Go sit in the sun. If they're cats, they'll say, curl up in the sun on the earth. And this is a very shamanic thing as well, because, for example, the old Celtic bards would, the travelling ones, would be barefoot, but the earth would be giving them so much information that that's how they would get in their inspired poetry, their inspired songs, because they knew the earth so intimately and the earth would be speaking to them. And so this is the sort of thing that we have to get back to. And this is what the animals are all telling their people to do. And, you know, I've had lots lately saying, you've got to be peace, you've got to do meditation and yoga, and you've got to, you know, just get some sunlight and sit. And and again, in the old teachings, we got energy from absorbing the earth and the sun. And this gives you life force. So there's all these things that we can be doing, and communing and listening, learning to listen to the stones, to the plants, to the tree spirits, to the animals, to the wind, to the rivers. Everything speaks. Everything is alive, and this is what we have to come back into a beautiful consciousness of, an awareness of. And then we will have the beautiful world that we want.
We're grateful, Billy Dean, for your sharing the many touching messages you've received from our animal friends. Through your sensitive, thoughtful efforts, you are helping us understand the deep inner wisdom of animals and appreciate, honour and value their presence here on Earth. For more details on Billy Dean, please visit www.billydean.com. Books, CDs and DVDs by Ms. Dean are available at the same website. Thank you for your gentle presence today on Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants. Coming up next is enlightening entertainment right after noteworthy news here on Supreme Master Television. May your days be filled with light, love and laughter.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/AW.